Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Well, good morning, and if you are watching this at home, that means that Snowmageddon has hit the Virginia Beach area. I hope you all are safe and somewhere cozy for the next 24 to 48 hours while we enjoy a winter wonderland here in Virginia Beach. But I wanted to make sure that you had the opportunity to come to church, you know, no matter where you're at. It's one of the wonderful things of technology is that right there from home, you can have your own church service. So you should have a copy of the Essential Church Worship album that you got on Christmas Eve. So you can maybe just stop this right now, play a few of those songs, have some worship time in your house, and then pick up with the sermon. And then, of course, you can always give online, too. You can do everything right there from the comfort of your own home for this one Sunday. Next week, come on back. But we're started a series just to start off the new year. About change, about how do you change? How will this year be any different than all the years before? And I was kind of disturbed, a little depressed last week when I asked the question, how many of y'all are going to do a New Year's resolution? And there's like four people in the whole room. And so I sort of sarcastically said, okay, so does that mean the rest of y'all are happy with where you're at? Everything last year was great, and you pretty much don't have anything you got to change or anything you got to work on. And maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe you just aren't into New Year's resolutions, whatever it may be. But the next couple of weeks, I just want to focus on how do people change? You know, a lot of people say that people don't change. However somebody is, how they'll always be. And the problem with that is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about change. It is all about change. Everything about what God wants to do in your life is all about change. He wants to make you more like his son, Jesus Christ, and chances are none of you are much like him right now. I'll add myself to that. None of us are anything like him right now, which means if God's going to do what he wants to do in your life, that means you have to have a change. And one of the best things about having a relationship with God is the change you end up seeing in your life over time. So the question is, how does that happen? So we're going to look at several things over the next couple weeks. This morning, though, I want to kick things off with something we often overlook when it comes to change, and that's prayer. Prayer changes things. It's one of those little plaques probably you had on your grandmother's house or maybe in a church you grew up in. It says prayer changes things. Most importantly, though, prayer changes you. When you spend time in prayer, it changes you. I remember years ago, I heard this story when I was a kid about the power of prayer. The story is told of a town that historically been a dry town. If you don't know what a dry town is, drive through the South, you still have some towns that are dry or at least dry one day a week. And that basically means that they do not sell alcohol anywhere within the city limits. And so a business owner had come into town and had worked a few things within the town hall and had gotten past the ability to build a tavern. Well, there was a group of Christians from a local church in that town that would have none of it. They loved the fact that they had a dry town. They felt very strongly about that, and the ales are drinking and everything. And so they prayed and prayed and prayed that God would intervene. Well, as things would happen shortly after the new tavern was finally built and opened, and by the way, the church was very public about this, and they would go and they would have, you know, rallies, and they would have prayer demonstrations out in front of the tavern. Well, about a week or so after the tavern opened, a rainstorm came through and lightning struck the tavern and burnt it to the ground. So with the litigious society that we have, the tavern owner decided to sue the church for praying that God would destroy the tavern. And the lawyers for the church came in and said, why would you blame us for this? This had nothing to do with us. This was just, you know, it was lightning and nothing to do with us at all. And the judge presiding over the case began, he says, well, no matter what comes out in this case, one thing is clear. To my ever surprise, the tavern owner here believes in the power of prayer, and this church does not. And it's a great old preaching story. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it ever happened. But I think we often talk about prayer, and even when we come to church, we pray. But I'm not 100% sure if we really believe in the power of prayer. Or if we do believe in the power of prayer, what we do is we think about prayer when we need something. Like if somebody is hurting or if somebody is sick or if somebody's in need, we think that the power of prayer is all about that person receiving whatever it is we're asking God for. We don't realize what it is, though, is that the power of prayer is what it does to change you. in your relationship. I say every week, this life is about nothing more than a loving relationship with God you'll enjoy for all eternity. Well, how can you have a loving relationship with somebody that you don't ever talk to? Think about how much your life is changed and impacted just by the people you spend time with and the people you talk with every day. I remember when I lived in Birmingham. I was born here in Virginia Beach, grew up in South Florida, which is why this whole snow thing is still foreign to me. And then moved to Birmingham, spent 2 years in Birmingham before we moved here. We moved here to Norfolk. People kept asking where I was from, and I'd say, well, I was born here. And they'd be like, no, come on now. You got an accent. You aren't from around here. And just from spending 2 years in Birmingham around people who had an accent, I had picked up a little bit of an accent just for a short while. Thank goodness it went away. My goodness. Anyways, moving on. But just talking with somebody has an impact on your life. And prayer changes things and it changes you. So why don't we pray more than we should? Why don't we pray more than we want to? Why is it that we have such a hard time finding time for prayer? Well, part of it, I think, is our own comfort level. When things are good, we don't think about praying. We had a saying when we first started Essential, which was if it were easy, we wouldn't need God. We had so many things that came up that looked like as if this church was never going to get off the ground. And every time one of those things would come up, we'd just come back and say, okay, we need to spend some more time praying about this because we need God to show up. We need God to do what only God can do in this moment. And so we would just, you know, get on our knees and pray, and sure enough, God would come through. And we look back and we'd say, you know, as difficult as things were and as hard as the road was to get the church started, the blessing in the whole thing was that we were people of prayer. And prayer, prayer, prayer always pushed us to our knees and prayer. And probably the best thing about a crisis is it pushes you to pray. And this isn't a new thing. This isn't just an us sort of thing. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, God warns the people. Now, the people had been in slavery in Egypt. They've been crying out and praying to God over and over and over again, God, deliver us, God, deliver us, God, deliver us. And then they're in the wilderness, and they're here in this area where there's no food, there's nothing to drink, so they're relying on God 100% to care for them, to preserve their life. And so they're always praying and always crying out to God day after day after day. And so they're about to go into the promised land, and here's what God says. He says, when God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, we're Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. He says, and you get houses that are filled with all kinds of good things, stuff that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. When you eat and you're satisfied, be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. And here's this principle. When things are good, we tend to ignore God. When things are going well, we tend to not focus on God. When we don't, we tend to sort of ignore him and think we don't really need him in our life or just kind of think things are on cruise control. And it's kind of like a kid. When a kid feels secure, like a little kid feels secure, they'll want to run all over the room. As soon as they're scared or a loud noise hits, they want to jump up into your arms. And it's just something about the way that we're wired as humanity. And so the thing is it's to break out of that and realize every day we need to spend that time alone with God in prayer. And my hope and my goal is not just that you pray more, okay? Because lots of people pray. Muslims pray. They pray more than most Christians. I mean, 5 times a day, they stop what they're doing and they pray in the direction towards Mecca. With our men's group, with Gospel Fight Club, I had a challenge for them for 1 week to pray. I didn't tell them it had anything to do with Muslims, but just to spend 5 minutes, 5 times a day praying. And of all the different assignments that I would give our Fight Club guys, that was the one everybody said, can't do it. I tried, couldn't do it. I would make like 2 out of 5. I'd make 3 out of 5. I just trying to find 5 minutes 5 times a day was absolutely impossible. Why? It just is, because we get so busy. We get so caught up in everything. But Hindus pray. Buddhists pray. Football teams pray. Before the game, after the game, and whenever they're losing, they pray. Even Congress prays. I mean, hello. The point here is not just that you'd pray more. The point is that you would look to prayer to grow in your relationship with your loving Savior. That you would look to God as the creator of the universe and just spend time every day with him in prayer. I remember years ago talking, it was at a youth camp or something, and this kind of bratty girl that annoyed the stew out of me, she looks at me one day and says, you don't pray. I can tell. I said, I do. And I was like kind of lying out of my teeth. I was like, I do every day. And she goes, no, you don't. Because if you did, I would know. And I was like kind of freaked out by the whole thing. But I remember making the decision that day, I'm going to pray to God every single night before I go to bed without fail. And that lasted from that point on. It just became a thing that we always did. And it was something I've tried to instill in my own kids, is that every single day we would just spend time in prayer. Because it grows you in your relationship with God. It grows that intimacy with God. And this was something about Jesus that the disciples were always noticing about, you know, the way he was and the way he lived. It says in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, one day when Jesus was praying in a certain place, he finished, and one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples to pray. And what's interesting, if you search through the scriptures, I think this is the only thing the disciples ever asked Jesus to teach them about. Like Jesus would just get up and teach them and just kind of like, let me tell you what I'm going to tell you about today. They just listen. The only thing I can think of that they actually, we have a record where the disciples looked at him and said, we want to pray like you pray. Like, what was it about his prayer? Well, if you look at Jesus' life, before every one of the main events that happens in his life, he's praying. When he's getting baptized, if you go over to Luke chapter 3, when Jesus is getting baptized and that dove, you know, heavens open up and a dove comes down, right before that it says, while he was praying, he comes up out of the water, and while he was praying is when all this stuff comes down and happens. Right before he chooses his disciples, it says Jesus went up. This is over in Luke chapter 6. Jesus went and he prayed. He spent that night in prayer. Then the next day, he finalized a list of his 12 disciples. Mount of Transfiguration, Luke chapter 9. Jesus went up on the mountain and prayed. And then all of a sudden, the heavens open up again, and Elijah and Moses come down. Prayer always precedes every one of these. Right before his trial and crucifixion, we all know that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane asking his disciples to pray with him. And what does he do? He goes off to a quiet place, and he prays. Before every major thing that happens in his life, he prays. He prays in the good times and he prays in the bad times. And so they say to him, just teach us how to pray. We've seen other people pray and we've prayed, but there's something different about you. And what was different about Jesus' relationship with God and prayer was his relationship with God. You see, lots of people pray, but with Jesus, there was something different about it. There was something that was unique about his prayer life with God. And so when he says, teach us how to pray, and what he says to them, he says, well, this is how to pray. And what's the very first word he says when he talks about prayer? All you almost need to get out of the Lord's Prayer is that first word. Our Father. Our Father. That right there alone was the different thing about the way Jesus prayed and the way every other person in the face of the earth has ever prayed. That is the difference between the way of somebody who has a loving relationship with God and will last for all eternity, who has the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the difference between the way they pray and the way a Muslim prays. That's the difference between the way they pray and the way a Buddhist prays. That's the difference between the way they pray and somebody at a football game prays. When you're praying to your Father, it's a different sort of thing. It's not about a religion. It's not about a ritual. It's not about something you just do. This is about you wanting to talk with your Father. It's kind of like one of the things I wasn't prepared for when I got married was, both times, was the relationship that many women have with their mothers. My dad and I, we talk, but it's not like I have this sense of need to talk every single day kind of thing. And when I got married, both the girls I've been married to, both of them, they like to talk to their mom almost every single day. It was foreign to me. I was like, yeah, I'll call my parents when I need something. No offense, Mom, Dad. Love you. And that's changed over the years, of course. You know, now I talk to my parents quite a bit now, but it wasn't understanding that whole thing, and it's because there was that close, intimate bond and relationship that the mothers and daughters had, and that's the kind of relationship God wants to have with you. That's why when his disciples say, "Teach us how to pray," the first thing he says is, "Pray, our Father," and what's interesting is, you know, even with all of that, we still come back and say, you know, I just need to find time to pray. Think about Jesus. Jesus made time to pray. He didn't try to find time to pray. He made time to pray. If you're trying to find time to pray, guess what? You ain't going to find it. It will elude you for the rest of your life. You will never find time to pray. Rarely ever do you just, you know, sit there and go, wow, I've got 10 minutes with nothing at all to do. I've got nothing at all I could possibly do to fill this time. I don't have a phone in my pocket. I don't have a TV on the wall. I don't have a magazine I can look to. I'm just going to sit here and stare at a blank wall for 10 minutes. That never happens. You never find time. You have to make time. And the thing about Jesus is he always made time. Look at this one story from Luke chapter 5. It says, the news about Jesus had spread all the more, such that crowds were coming to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to the lonely places and prayed. Just think about this scene in this setting. There's people who want to hear him teach, who need to be healed, and yet Jesus makes time to pray even when he's got that kind of stuff pressing in. And now I know right now, you know, your first thought of why you don't pray more is because you're just so busy. And here's Jesus in a day and a time and a culture where he doesn't have a phone, he doesn't have Facebook, he doesn't have TV, he doesn't have all those distractions we have. On top of that, he's got real needs out there. He's got people who have desperate needs who really need him to do something for them. And yet he still prioritizes his time and prayer over healing and teaching. I mean, there's a part of me that kind of wishes that Jesus had just taught me something more. Tell me something more. Tell me something more. But he says, no, more important than anything is the time that I spend alone with the Father. And what he was doing, he was teaching us something right in that, that this was a priority even for the Savior of the world. I mean, part of me almost thinks if there's anybody who didn't need to pray, it's why does God need to talk to God? And then you start to think about this is when Jesus entered our world, what you have is you have the Trinity of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who have existed together for all eternity in this close community and fellowship. And during the incarnation, that relationship was changed in some way. It's beyond my pay grade to fully understand this. But he left the realm of heaven and came to earth. And there was that longing, desire, and connection that Jesus always had to be in connection with the Father. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants you and me to have. When it says we need to become more like Jesus, that's a piece of how we need to become more like Jesus and longing for that connection with our Heavenly Father. After all, this is the one you'll spend all eternity with. All eternity. And so Jesus would just pull away to spend time. And the point isn't to become... isn't just to pray more, become better organized, try to fit it in your day. The point is to look at this next year and make a decision. I want to grow deeper in my relationship with God. And I primarily, the way that that happens is just spending time and talking. When I talk with married couples that don't have a close relationship, the very first question I'll ask is, how often do y'all talk every day? You know, when do y'all talk every day? The reason why Rebecca and I have such a great relationship, and the reason why we're so close to each other is we talk all the time. I mean, there's rarely a time that one of us isn't in the car that we're not on the phone with the other person. We just spend time talking. And, you know, say, well, what do y'all talk about? Don't you ever get to the point where you don't have anything to talk about? No, we always find something. And if you make time to spend with God, you'll find something to talk to him about. And you'll move beyond just the lists. I know a lot of times that's all your prayer life is just a list, 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 list. God, I need this. God, I need this. God, I need this. But if you spend enough time in prayer, you'll get beyond the lists. And that's the whole thing. When you're trying to build that intimacy with your spouse, you start with the lists. Hey, what time are you coming home today? Can you go by the grocery store? Hey, can you pick this stuff up? Hey, what time's that appointment tomorrow? You start with the lists. But then you move from the lists to how was your day? And you move from the list to just talking about life and hopes and dreams and what you're feeling and what you're going through and what you're struggling with, what you're frustrated about. And God wants to be one that you come and you just share that stuff with because he wants to have an intimate, loving relationship with you. And he doesn't want to wait till eternity to start it. He wants it to start today. So my challenge for you in 2017, if you want to see a change in your life, if you want this year to be different than any other year, if you want to become more like Christ this year, it has to start with prayer. It begins with prayer. It ends with prayer. It's all about prayer. I mean, just think about the awesome opportunity you have that the one who created everything, the heavens, the earth, the stars, the moon, the sun, the sky, you, the people you're frustrated with, the people you love, wants you to talk to him and wants to spend time with you every day. I mean, just once that hits you and sinks you in, and then beyond that, he says, I want you to come to me like you would your dad and just cry out and just talk. And so with that, let's close our time in prayer. And then my hope is that this day you'll make a commitment that every single day in 2017 you'll spend time alone with God in prayer, whether it's when you first wake up, when you go to bed at night, every single day, without missing a day, you'll do it. Maybe some of y'all need to set a time on your timer or on your phone and just an alarm that would go off just to remind you every day to pray. whatever it is, whatever it takes, just spend that time with God this year. Let's pray. Father, we just want to come before you and just talk for a little bit. And for each one of us, there's something different on our hearts that we need to share or move through. And our corporate time together in prayer right now will be brief, because as people are listening at home, they just need to turn the computer off for a few minutes and get alone with you and just spend some time just talking. For some, they've been angry with you and frustrated with you about something, and they need to share it, just like Job shared all of his frustrations. Or maybe like Jeremiah, they feel betrayed by you, and they just need to share it. That's what Jeremiah did. He said, God, I feel betrayed. I feel like you suckered me. Some people might feel distant. Like, God, where are you at? I know Abraham felt that way. And just tell you where they're at. Talk about their day. And Father, this year would be a year where we make a commitment just to spend every day talking to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.